And please pray with me. Lord Jesus, take my lips and speak through them this morning. Give us ears to hear your voice. Take our hearts and speak to them. And take our wills and set them on fire with such love for yourself that we dare not be, after hearing your word, the same people we were before. Holy Spirit, guide this time. Give us ears to hear this morning. Jesus, we pray this in your powerful name. Amen. This morning, we continue our series on John's revelation from the Lord, the last book in the New Testament. And as we have discussed in the past 3 weeks, the book of Revelation is written to be a message of encouragement to all followers of Jesus, a word of encouragement to the church. It's a call to faithfulness, to sacrifice, to endurance through difficulties, to endurance through hardship and persecution, encouraging the church to stand firm so that we will continue to reflect God's love and character to the world until he returns. Last week and this week, we're taking a closer look at the letters to the seven churches, the letters that Jesus dictated to the seven churches in Asia. So if you want to follow along in your pew Bibles, it's on page 1030. We're in Revelation chapter 3, beginning with verse 14. And as a reminder, this is Jesus speaking this message. Now, if you take time to read the seven letters in succession, I recommend that you do. You're going to note a common statement that Jesus makes at the end of each letter, and we heard it in today's reading. Revelation 3, verse 22. This is, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." All who have ears, let them hear. This isn't a suggestion. And this is at the end of each of the seven letters. It's a command. If you have ears, church, listen. Listening and hearing is key here. Now, this past week, my family and I experienced a plumbing issue. We discovered on one of the interior walls of our house evidence that a pipe had broken in the wall somewhere. Well, when I looked into calling plumbers, it was first recommended by the insurance company to call the leak doctors or the leak detectors. Leak detectors. Didn't know what that was going to be, but it was reminiscent of the 1980s movie Ghostbusters. This guy came in and he put on these high-tech headphones and he carried a box that the headphones were plugged into. Then there was a squiggly cord and he had this rod that looked like something out of a Thor movie or a javelin. And he was touching the wall. And he touched the floor. He touched every faucet in our house. I finally said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I can hear even the slightest leak, water moving. I'm going to pinpoint this leak." In about 15 minutes, he pulled a sticker out of his box, stuck it on the wall, and said, "It's right here." Okay. He said, "Listen, you can hear it." So I stood there. He took off his headphones, and I listened. And he said, "Hear that drip?" I didn't hear anything. "There it is again. See, it's right there." I might have heard something at that point, but I had no idea what direction it was coming from. He was such a good listener that he knew not only that it was coming through this wall and not these two walls, but that it was here on the wall, not down here. He was an expert. I'm not. It takes me about a half an hour to figure out which smoke detector's beeping, because you hear the beep and then you run to this place. And then you hear the beep and you run over there. I can't tell, you know, I'm not sure what it is, if I mowed the lawn too many times or, but I don't have that kind of hearing. Well, listening is difficult, but it's even harder when other noises and sounds clamor for your attention. And we live in a culture with lots of noise, lots of distraction. This is especially true when it comes to hearing God's voice in Scripture, the Holy Spirit's voice in the midst of life. You have so many voices, so many sounds clamoring distracting, calling out to you. And this is what the Lord says. Listen to what the Spirit has to say to the churches. So I ask you today to listen, not just with your ears, but listen for what God may be speaking into your heart. And in this passage, we're going to cover three concepts. We're going to take a look at vomit, prosperity, and repentance. Now, if you were listening, yes, that's what I said. So good, I've got your attention. The three points are vomit, prosperity, and repentance. So this is the seventh letter to the church at Laodicea. And this letter has much to say into our current cultural setting, into our lives. In verse 14 of our reading, as Jesus did in each of the seven letters, he provides an introduction to who he is. And then he goes right to work in verse 15, not wasting any words or any time. Jesus gets personal. He says, I know your works. He says, I know you. I know your lives. I know your conduct. I know your character. I know your behavior. I know your priorities. I know you. I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. The first century audience, and especially the city of Laodicea, would have known hot and cold water and the value to those two things. There were hot springs in the region, and the water was piped into Laodicea through pipes from those hot springs. There were also cold springs, cold, clear water. Well, the hot water was known to be therapeutic and valuable, and the cold water, obviously, for thirst. Hot and cold were both valuable. And in faith, it's much the same. In this imagery, Jesus declares, there's hope for those who are cold, who haven't yet grasped the truth of who Jesus is, who haven't yet grasped the gospel. There's hope that they will hear. There's also hope and new life for those who are hot, who are shining with the light of Christ, who have been transformed and are being transformed by the Holy Spirit. Hot and cold in faith, both possess hope in this imagery. Lukewarm in faith, well, that's a dangerous state of being. Jesus says that lukewarm faith isn't just bad, it's downright nasty. Verse 16. Jesus says, because you are lukewarm and neither hot or cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. And that's the original language meaning vomit. This isn't just, doesn't taste good and spit it out. And I'm not going to say anything more about the imagery. Now the water that came to Laodicea from the distance, piped in from the hot springs by the time it arrived, it was lukewarm, and it was also known to contain a high concentration of calcium carbonate. So drinking that lukewarm made you sick. They knew that. Jesus is speaking in their language, and he is using strong imagery. He declares, because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, you make me sick. You need to listen here. Listen to what the Spirit says. You need to listen now to what causes this church to be lukewarm. And we find out in verse 17, because you're neither hot nor cold, I'll spit you out of my mouth. And Jesus continues in verse 17, for you say, I am rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing. We're going to stop there for now. This is prosperity. We covered the first word. Don't need to say it again. The second word is prosperity. Laodicea was a very wealthy city. It was located at the intersection of three primary Roman roads. At that intersection, it was a center for banking, a place of commerce. It famously rejected Roman financial assistance. In that region, there were, and there still are, earthquakes in the region of Turkey and that whole region of Asia Minor. And in 60 AD, there was a devastating earthquake, and Laodicea said, We don't need your help, Rome. We can fix this ourselves. They rejected Roman money, and they fixed it with their own resources. They are rich, prosperous, successful, self-sufficient, needing nothing. And Jesus makes it clear their prosperity has caused them to be lukewarm in their faith. So the verse continues, "You say, I'm rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing, not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked." On the outside, they have it all going on. They look really good. We're fine. We don't need any help. We're okay. And the prosperity has removed the hotness of their faith. As I prepared for this, I began to think this is hitting a little too close to home here. This is when I began to hear what God was speaking to me. This church, they're no longer aware of. They've forgotten their spiritual brokenness, that they're wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. They're no longer aware of their sin, their utter dependence on God for everything, their need for a Savior, their need for the Lord's guidance and direction. They're lukewarm. We've been discussing on Wednesday nights what a healthy church will look like. This is not a healthy church. This is a sick church in view here. The church before us has rejected God. They continue to meet together. They're still a church where they practice their religion. They practice their rituals, but there's no life there. They're lukewarm. They're no longer hot. There's no hunger for God's voice or spirit, no dependence on God for his provision. It's just something that they do. And Jesus proclaims a jarring wake-up call to the lukewarm church. In verse 18, Jesus declares to them, "I counsel you to buy for me gold refined by fire so that you may be rich, and white garments so that you may clothe yourself and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen, and salve to anoint your eyes." Jesus says, this is what you need, church, not the prosperity that you have. You need true spiritual gold that's only available from my hand. You need pure white garments only provided by me through faith in Jesus. And Jesus speaking here, you need these garments provided through faith in me to cover and heal your shame, your nakedness, your brokenness. You need to have your spiritual eyes treated with my healing ointment that you might truly see who you are and who I am, that you might regain your hotness. They are so unhealthy as a church. Verse 20 declares they've cast God out of the church. Verse 20, Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. I'm not even inside anymore. I'm outside knocking on the door." Jesus is outside, rejected by the lukewarm church. And yet, we see that Jesus is continuing to pursue his people. He doesn't leave them as they are. He's knocking. He calls them to open the door. He calls them to open their eyes, to open their hearts and invite him back in. He calls them to wake up. They reject him, and yet he pursues them. He loves them. And this love is clearly seen in verse 19. "All who have ears, listen." Verse 19, "Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. So be zealous and repent." Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. And this echoes our passage from Proverbs 3. You remember what we read as the Old Testament reading? "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Depend on God." Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits from your crops. Don't take me for granted, the Lord says. The Lord reproves him who he loves was a part of that passage in Proverbs, and now we hear it again. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. I reprove, I rebuke and expose. He loves you, so he won't allow you to just slip away. He will speak. Are you listening? He disciplines, he teaches, he instructs. Are you taking time to listen? Is there space in your life to listen? Jesus declares, I love you. So I pursue you and I knock. I rebuke you and instruct you to repent and return to me. Return to your first love. This was a faithful church and now it's not. And he says, repent. Be zealous and repent. I want you to be hot. I want you to be dependent on me. This is a God, this is a Savior like no other. Faithful and true, pursuing you and rebuking and disciplining you throughout your life. We're never finished. We're never finished transforming. Our life journey is being transformed day by day into His image. So that at the last, we are his people, ready to inherit his new kingdom. And we find that at the end of this book of Revelation. He never lets go. He never leaves you as you are. He's always working to bring repentance and transformation into your heart. All who have ears, let them hear. Listen, church, to the Lord's voice today. As I reflected on this, he helped me to see places where I was taking him for granted, where I was going through motions, where I wasn't necessarily hot anymore. And he gave me the opportunity to respond. And I challenge you not to leave here and forget this, but I challenge you to take quiet time today, to listen. I pray that this message hits you as it hit me. I pray that even now you're thinking, examining your own heart, you may be hearing his voice as he seeks to put his finger on anything that might be lukewarm, that might be robbing you of your passion, that might be in need of repentance. Here's a quote from one of my favorite authors, Rosaria Butterfield. No coincidence, her message is clear, but it continues to speak into these sermons. She says, "The gospel is good news for sinners. And quite frankly, there is no gospel for people who think they were all cleaned up just the way they are. The gospel isn't good news so that you can have a happy life here on earth. That is not the point of the gospel. The point of the gospel is to so fully reshape and remake us to reflect the image of our Savior that we are fit to inherit a new Jerusalem with him. There are two things that will survive into the new Jerusalem: the souls of people and the Word of God. There is no gospel for people who think they are all cleaned up just the way they are. I'm okay, I'm fine. That's the church at Laodicea." She goes on in this interview to say, if you think you're okay doing pretty well just the way you are, then the gospel is no news for you. If you're fine, you don't need the gospel. And if you don't need God, your heat, your hotness has become lukewarm, and you're in grave danger. No one wants to be spit out of the Lord's mouth. Listen, church, to what the Spirit has to say. If you're cold, if you're still on a journey of faith, if you haven't yet submitted your life to the Lord, confessed your sin, and received the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, there's hope. There's hope here. I encourage you to ask God to speak to you, to spend time in His Word, to be quiet before Him. Ask Him to speak, because He will. He will lead you. He will open your eyes to His love for you and to the ways He desires you to be transformed. Are you lukewarm? Has your faith lost its heat, lost its power, lost its passion? Where is your faith settled into lukewarm religious ritual? I ask you this, if tomorrow the culture declared Christianity to be illegal, if tomorrow it was against the law to talk about Jesus, to talk about faith in the public square, it is illegal to carry a Bible in public, illegal to share faith. I ask you, would that affect you? Would it keep you from anything? Would anyone notice? How might you react? As God revives His passion for us, then the world will see who we are. They'll know whom we serve. And we will know that this is living and active, that we need it. And we will live to reflect His love to those that are lost, to those that are cold, and to those others that are lukewarm. Do you go to church and read your Bible because it's a good thing to do? Or do you do those things because you're desperate for a relationship with God? Because you're desperately dependent on Him for provision and peace? You're passionate to be transformed into His image, not willing to stay where you are. You're passionate to daily reflect His character and love. May this be true of us, Lord Jesus. God, I thank You that You don't leave us as we are. I thank You, You continue to pursue us, whether we're hot, lukewarm, or cold. You love us, You pursue us, and You knock. You stand daily and knock to get our attention. Give us ears to hear. Speak, Lord, through Your Word. Speak into our lives. Rebuke us of sin. Identify it. Rebuke us of our lukewarm faith. And as we repent and confess, forgive us our sin by Jesus' blood and renew our hearts by Your Holy Spirit. May this Church of the Redeemer be a healthy, vibrant, living, hot, shining part of Your people, Lord Jesus. Set us on fire to burn hot as You change and transform us into Your image, to live as Your men and women, reflecting the light of Your character and love. Jesus, we are dependent on You, King of Kings, and we pray this in Your name. Amen.